You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
All right, good morning, family. I too am grateful for food on my table. I don't know about you. Can we give another round of applause for everyone who served today? The speakers, thank you to Colbert and Wesleyan for sharing your heart. All the singers here, we thoroughly appreciate you. You guys don't know, but they're up in here early. In the middle of the week, they're planning out the service. So we definitely appreciate you guys. One quick announcement before we move into our lesson for today. This Saturday, March 17th, we'll be having our monthly Edge Singles Devo. Okay, all right. I was going to come at you again if you ain't make no noise. It'll be a great time in fellowship. The theme is One Fire. This, I don't know if you guys noted, but the first 3 months of the year, the theme has been One. And so we started off with One Focus. Then we moved on to, come on now, somebody's paying attention, One Heart. And then we'll be closing this theme out with One Fire. So invite your friends, invite your coworkers, invite your family. It'll be a great time. We'll be at our regular location up on 86th Street. Amen. All right, why don't we get started with a prayer. Dear God, it's a privilege to be here. God, it's a privilege to have life, Lord. Thank you so much for bringing us together to dig into your word, God, and to connect with you. Father, I pray that your spirit moves here today. I pray that your spirit will speak through me. And I pray, Father, that we all leave knowing you just a little bit better. In Christ we pray. Amen. Kick it over. All right, I want to start off with a question. This is a real question that you guys can raise your hand and answer. What one thing, if you lost it, could mean that you would lose the will to live? What thing or person, if you lost it, would mean that almost all significance and value would be drained out of your life? Got one back there. Yell it out. My sons. My mama, that's right. My cats, it's real. My sister, okay, we got a lot of family members. Cats are family members, right? I respect that. Anybody else? My niece and nephew, more family. Anybody not a family member? Something else? Amen. Anyone else? One over here, last one. My music, amen, the arts. Say it again. My freedom, that's real. We can't take it for granted. Thank you for answering and being open. But what if I told you that the thing you just identified is an idol or has the potential to become an idol? It has the potential to become your God. What if I told you that the very place it occupies in your heart is the place God wants to be? And he's not looking for a roommate. You see, we all search for meaning and significance, but true fulfillment in life can only be found in the author of life. If we want a truly fulfilled life, then we must be fully satisfied with God. And we start that by identifying the idols or the potential idols in our life. So point number one, if we want to have a truly fulfilled life, we need to identify the idols in our life. Turn with me to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, starting at verse 1. It says, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath and the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.'" So a little bit of a backstory here. God, at this time, decided to set apart a specific group of people to call his very own. We can relate to that, right? We can call them ambassadors. We can call them reflections of his light. And through them, God wanted to reflect himself to other nations. But because they're still sinful human beings, they needed some guidelines. And these are the very first commandments God gives to that nation. And what's number one on the list? You shall have no other gods before me. He says again in verse 3, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. So back then, they used to actually fashion idols, right? Out of stone, out of wood, out of metal. But we probably don't have those as much today, unless, you know, you're talking about your iPhone or whatever. That could be an idol. But what are our idols today? We no longer have small statues. We no longer have these giant statues or heads of gold to bow down to. But what are our idols today? Our idols are what our hearts are most set on. An idol is anything you feel is absolutely necessary to your happiness, your meaning in life, your identity, your sense of self-worth or security. Your boyfriend or girlfriend could be an idol. Your husband or wife, even your children could be an idol. Or maybe that's not your thing. Maybe it's your desire for a successful career, your desire for a relationship, your physical appearance, the way you want to be seen on social media, owning a car, owning a home, getting good grades, getting bad grades, fitting in with the right crowd. The list goes on. Have you identified your potential idols? Do you guys have a friend who gets dressed like 3 times before you guys can go anywhere? You know, like everything's got to match. The socks got to match the shirt. The shirt's got to match the hat. The hat's got to match the coat. Everything has to match. Or like every single hair has to be in place in order for them to like actually leave the house. Maybe you don't have that friend. Maybe you are that friend. I don't know. I definitely had friends like that in college, and I may have had some tendencies myself. But you know, those aren't really my idols. I think, you know, my thing can be just trying to be productive, just crossing things off my list. It can be my accomplishments, my dream to be successful. It could be wanting to be a role model to my younger siblings. It could be my physical appearance, but it could also be just wanting to be liked and well-respected by family, friends, and coworkers. You know, if someone says, Tim, you are a really great speaker, and that outfit is on point, I might be feeling myself. But if they say, Tim, you know, you're an awful speaker, and you look like you got dressed in the dark, my self-esteem might be challenged a little bit. And honestly, I probably laugh it off in the moment. But when I'm alone, if I've let what that person says surpass what God says about me, then I've made them my God. If God were to strip away my success, reputation, and physical appearance, I think I would feel like a failure. But I'm learning that I have to divorce my heart from these things to an extent so that they don't become my God or what I live for. Have you taken time to identify your idols? Now, don't get me wrong. Most of these things are good, right? But they become our idols when we look to that thing or person for the satisfaction that only God can provide. That's when it's dangerous, because no created thing or person can bear the weight of your soul's deepest desire. Have you ever thought about why this is the first commandment? I'm sure God had a reason. I believe that if we get this right, if we truly put God first and worship him only, then we will inherently obey the rest of the commandments. But God knows that we worship whatever we place on the pedestal of our hearts. He knows that we get attached to what we can tangibly, physically see, taste, and touch. Where is your treasure today? What have you placed on the pedestal of your hearts? The truth is that all those things are temporary, and only God can satisfy your deepest needs. So if we want to live a truly fulfilled life, after we've identified our idols, we need to see ourselves as God does. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. And we'll start reading at verse 7. Genesis chapter 2. Just one book back, not too far. Don't get lost. I believe in you. Get there. Genesis 2, verse 7. Set the scene a little bit. Up until this point, God has spoken everything into existence. This is the story of creation, and he's simply spoken and commanded things to be. The skies, the sun and the moon, the plants, the animals, the land, the oceans, everything he just commanded to exist, and it was so. But when it came to human beings, his process was a little different. In verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." This is absolutely incredible to think about. God took the dust of the earth, also known as some dirt or some clay, and he formed a man from it. And on top of that, he breathed life into its nostrils, and the dust, the dirt, became a living, breathing man. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. And that's how our relationship with God started. It was a personal and unique connection. But when sin entered the picture, the relationship changed. You can write down or turn to Romans chapter 5. But I'll read, it says in verse 6 of Romans chapter 5, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Here we see the extent of God's unconditional love. We see two pictures. One, when God is intimate with us, bringing us to life, getting his hands dirty. And two, when we're separated from him, we're now his enemies. While we were still sinners, it says, while we were God's enemies, he died for human beings. God sent Christ to die for us, not because we were good or deserving, but because we are precious to him. Do we see ourselves like that? Do we see ourselves as valuable the way that God does? Have you ever been giving something when you least deserved it? Have you ever been dead wrong? Just wrong, all kinds of wrong, and been forgiven, or even been given something rewarding in return? That's how God is with us. You will never stop being God's treasured possession, but is he your greatest treasure? In Romans 8, starting at verse 38, Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love God, for the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is clear that God is committed to not letting anything separate us from him. But what have we allowed into our lives that separates him from us? Every one of us is invaluable to God, but it has nothing to do with what we've done. It has everything to do with what God has done. Our fulfillment cannot come from what we've accomplished or anything else that is of this world, but our significance comes from the fact that a holy and sinless God who loved us so much that he was willing to pay the price of our sins with his son's life. If we want a truly fulfilled life, we need to identify our idols, we need to begin to see ourselves as God does, and then we need to give up the throne in our hearts. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. And verse 34 says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.'" You know, we know that the religious teachers of Jesus' day had laws upon laws upon laws that had all become about status, about reputation, about being self-righteous. They no longer glorified the God who'd given them the guidelines to be his set-apart people. So when they asked Jesus this question, they were probably speaking from a place of pride and self-righteousness. But Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. If we want a truly fulfilled life, we need to give up the throne in our hearts? What's on the throne of your heart today? You know, the average American watches 5 hours of TV a day. Is that anybody in here? You don't have to raise your hand. We live in a culture where we glorify that, though, right? We say, oh, yeah, you know, I just binged. You know, I just watched about 27 episodes of 27 movies. But what is that for you? It may not be movies, but what is that for you? What do you long for at the end of a day? How do you spend the majority of your time? God is after our hearts above all else. Loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind is the greatest commandment because nothing else can complete us the way God will. When we're completely satisfied in Him, we won't look to our life's goals or the people we love to satisfy us or save us from feeling like our life lacks meaning or purpose. In Jeremiah 2:13, God describes Himself as the spring of living water. We need to know that spring of living water that leaves us not thirsty, but fulfilled. We need to know Him intimately and personally. We need to spend time with Him in prayer, to spend time with Him soaking up His word, to spend time with other believers trying to be righteous, trying to follow in Jesus' footsteps. You know, the reality is that life is short. And so if you're visiting, I strongly encourage you to get with the person who invited you today, to learn about how God can truly fulfill you. You know, our lives are just a mist that appears and then vanishes. It's a flower that flourishes and fades away. And on the other side of this life, we can't take our success, our money, our reputation with us, no matter how tightly we hold them. There's a quote that says, "We will find our greatest joy when God is our greatest treasure." If we want a truly fulfilled life, we need to identify our idols. We need to begin to see ourselves the way God sees us. And we need to give up the throne in our hearts. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.